to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live, our final show before the regular season of the college football season. Week zero is next week, so when I come your way next Saturday night, we will be recapping week zero college football and actually talking about a game in progress. UNLV Memphis is going on next Saturday night. You will also see across the network, as you have all summer long, our next guest in studio, Doug Kazarian, joining me on Cashing Out as we're going to talk a little NFL preseason, a little college football. I mean, Doug, first off, like, everyone here at Circa is very excited for football, right? Like, the whole fantasy football drafts are going on. Did you see all the, Adrian Peterson hanging out today?
That's where I was at the event. I didn't want to cut line, but I was just dying to shake his hand because that's all you've ever heard is this massive handshake. It's almost like seeing the Eiffel Tower. It's just something you want to experience. I did not do it because I didn't want to cut line and be that guy. But I was fascinated because that was something I was considering.
Yeah, yesterday, you know, I saw Earl Thomas yesterday. I was down at the stadium swim. I thought, was Jeff Garcia here today? Because he was supposed to be in town.
I was doing his primetime last night with Earl Thomas for a second. Great. So it was great catching up with him and his team. They could not have been nicer. Like, just everyone. And this is such a festive atmosphere. And I was up there just now at the event. And then also Legacy Club, just the whole, everyone's wearing jerseys. It was just like a huge thing. Raider Nation as well. So the whole thing was like awesome.
Yeah, the guys, Bill and the crew at Draft Nation did an incredible job. We had Michael Fabiano in here earlier talking about some season-long projections that he has from a fantasy perspective. I gave him one of my favorite season-long props. And naturally, Doug, I'm an under guy when it comes to season-long player props.
Smart.
Which we know, and I understand, and I always try and tell the audience that there's no 100% right way. I say unders are going to be more profitable, like we know that, but there are reasons to bet overs. If you think that you have something that the market's not factoring in, there's a reason to bet overs. But what do you think about this is something that someone that bets like you do and like I do, with all due respect to people that give out their analysis, the one thing that I can't stand when it comes to season-long prop analysis is when somebody says, well, all they have to do is average 47 yards per game, and then they're going to hit this number.
Such an astute observation.
Because to me, it's like, first off, you're assuming they play every game, and you're assuming the game script is the same for every game. If you're playing, like, one of the props that I gave out was Jeremiah Love under, okay? Not only is he hurt already in the preseason, Arizona plays a tough schedule, they have a terrible offensive line with injuries now on the offensive line, and they're going to be losing in the majority of their games where they're going to be passing more than running. That's a game script handicap. So you can just say 799 yards. Like, he only has to average this many per game. Easy, right? Not so fast.
It's a good point. And I think a smart way to go about it is, you know, obviously things can change throughout the course of the season. But sometimes you should look at maybe, are they more than a touchdown underdog in this many games?
Ooh, yeah.
And things along those lines. And how many times we've seen these types of running backs. And then if you have a grade on an offensive line, you can assess it that way. There's many ways to sort of provide context and do projections instead of just like simple math, like you're saying, which is just, it's not even lazy. It's just incorrect.
Yeah. I love the fact that you brought up the spreads because that goes into my idea about game script is if you can, and we do have, I mean, there are sports books out there that give you the lines for every game already, right? Like I bet a bunch of things.
And also I think when you're handicapping like previous running backs, top three, whatever, I do think, and I said this at the time, so I don't want to pull a muscle, pat myself on the back, but I do think the NFL has changed once each conference went to one bye week. Now, the NFL's not the NBA's load management.
Yeah.
But I do think there's an element of they're approaching this like a marathon, not a sprint.
Sure.
Because there's only one sort of dangled carrot of the one bye, these teams want to be healthy, want to be recharged, and they're prioritizing that. So with that being said, guys are going to miss games and just, you know, there is an element of some of that. So when you're doing some projections based on the history of the NFL, obviously everyone knows that 17 games is different than 16 games. But I do think the nature of the NFL regular season has changed because I think the intensity and the winner go home kind of mentality and everything of the regular season just is not the same. College football has changed too.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of like Notre Dame under 11 and a half wins. Right? Minus 190, 185.
Because you think they're already going to be in a spot to make the playoff.
They don't need to go undefeated.
Yeah. Okay.
And look, we didn't see Northern Illinois coming on them. We didn't see Marshall coming in. Now, someone I talked to last night, a very sharp guy, says they only have two potential losses. I'm like, no. First of all, they have like three, if you really want to. But
how you like BYU.
And then obviously Miami. But then there's another one that's like, oh, they could lose that one. Was it Wake or is it something like that? I'm trying to remember. But there's definitely a lose. And then who knows these other games, right? There's injury. I just think at some point, I know we're veered to the Notre Dame. I just think at some point Notre Dame is going to be plus 200 on the live line at some point this season for that game, let alone a season. So you almost like get a free roll on these like cupcakes that you never know about.
Are you just knocking me because I gave out Notre Dame to win the national championship during the VSiN college football betting guide?
I think it'd be better for Notre Dame if they're 11-1. I think it'd be better. But that's my whole point. I'm not going to bet them to not win. Carr could win the Heisman too. I just don't think they need to go 12-0.
Sure. And maybe that's the reason why.
And
maybe,
if you get later, you're going to get everyone's best shot.
And maybe that's the reason why Carr doesn't win the Heisman. Because
maybe.
I know we're veering off, but this is a great conversation because I don't like Carr to win the Heisman because Notre Dame is going to be winning in all of these games. Why is he going to be throwing, right?
They're
a run-first offense to begin with.
They sleptwalk a little bit with BC last year. But they're they were like a four-point game at the end of the third.
You have a run-first offense that's projected to go undefeated this year. So don't you want a quarterback that's going to throw for 4,000 yards to be a Heisman candidate, not a guy who's going to throw for 2,500?
So there's three profiles for a Heisman Trophy winner. You have the outlier, like the Devontae Smith or the dual threat from Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the two main ones. You have the quarterback of the number one team that's undefeated and has good stats.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other one that we've seen more of late, whereas gaudy stats from like a two or three loss team. That's like more RG3, Lamar Jackson, sort of like undeniable stats where there's no one that's like, and the number one team in the country is like a so-so quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like a game manager.
Yeah.
So those are the profiles. So it could be Jameis Winston and the undefeated quarterback of the number one team who's been good. There could be the Johnny Manziel, RG3, those guys. And then the outlier, right? The defensive player maybe, or the Manti Te'o, whatever. Now, he didn't win, but, you know, he's a finalist. So I think you have to – and every season's different. Like,
sure.
Right? Like McCaffrey would have won a lot of years.
Yes.
And it was Derrick Henry, right, that won that year, I believe.
Penix would have won in many other years. Yeah.
Okay. So I just think it depends on the year, but also depends on the profile. But that's where I would – so where would Carr fit? It'd be the number one team in the country.
It'd be the number one guy on the number one team,
good stats and maybe a Heisman moment here and there.
Sure.
On a late drive.
Against Miami late
because
in the year.
Even last year, Indiana ran the table, but they had some big moments.
Yeah. Like the SMU is a one-loss
team.
But
I don't think Mendoza should have won. I don't.
I think
it should have been Pavia, like no-brainer in my eyes.
Yeah. And he had more Heisman moments, and
we were sick. They were 6-6 the year before.
Could have been a playoff team.
He was more valuable to that team. Yeah, I don't think Pavia is good enough to play in the NFL. I'm just saying that if you factor in the value and you know, what the rest of the roster was, things like that.
That's really interesting. Doug Gazarian joining me, Scott Seidenberg in studio here. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. When it comes to look ahead spots, I did a whole podcast earlier this week about betting look ahead spots because, you know, I placed, and I'm not talking to look ahead spots in the sense of, oh, this team has a trap game. They're looking ahead to this team. I'm talking about, we have game of the year lines. We know the schedule already. Spots that we're looking ahead and have already bet. One spot that I'm looking at, and we can talk in the NFL, I want to fade the Chicago Bears on Christmas against the Packers. Chicago has a road game in Miami, right, where we know the body does weird things. When you come out of a cold, frigid temperature and you get off the plane in South Beach and it's 75 degrees and sunny, your brain
This is mid-November-ish.
This is 2 weeks before Christmas.
Okay. Oh, right? So I'm thinking Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's 2 weeks before Christmas. So we know it's going to be cold in Chicago. They come off the plane, whatever their mindset is, you play Miami. Then the next week, they go to Buffalo, back to the cold against the second-best team in the NFL besides the Rams. And then you play your division rival Packers at home. Packers, meanwhile, have the same two opponents, Buffalo and Miami, home, then Chicago.
Gotcha.
Right now, the Bears are -1.5. Packers +1.5 as a play or a teaser leg right now for me on Christmas. Do you have a look ahead spot?
So, I mean, I would tread lightly because there's so many things that can happen. The
of course,
variables,
yeah.
Right? I would, for this thing, I would go over and try to find data where these situations have occurred.
Yeah.
Not okay. Just now, the problem with that is there's other variables. So it's hard to pinpoint the reason something happened.
Yes,
so you got to, like the home road splits of pitchers, I always get a kick out of. Unless it's glaring, It's like, yeah, that pitcher did pitch that way on the road, but he also pitched a different lineup. He also had you know, different day of the week, day, yep. night. I mean, there's so many other moving mm-hmm. parts of said trend. I mean, look, the obvious stuff is like Ole Miss the week after facing LSU. Like,
yeah.
these are pretty obvious stuff. I do not bet a lot of futures unless you can do a bunch of parlay legs of, because I'm only looking at like 50 to 1 stuff, 30 to 1. Like, I don't get involved in the minus 110. Like, I like the Falcons under 7.5 wins a lot. But I'm not even going to bet it. Like, I may put it in, like, if I do a futures leg with an NBA.
You're not going to hold your money for 6 months for something that's going to, you're going to make it on a one, like, bet, on a first half bet.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, maybe I will, because I like it that much.
Yeah.
But I would just rather do variations of it or something like that, and things like that in week one, week two.
I'll give you a college football look ahead spot right now. And it starts next week, our first week, week zero. Ooh. We have Memphis coming in to play UNLV. The week after that, Memphis returns home to play Arkansas State in the paint bucket game. It's a rivalry game. Now, you have a first-year head coach coming in, Charles Huff, taking over.
Right.
What's very important to first-year head coaches? Winning that rivalry right. game. The week after, they have to go to Boise State on the blue turf. Memphis will get destroyed by Boise State in that game, because you have the tough trip to Vegas against a great offense in UNLV. You have to deal with them. Then you go home for the rivalry game. Then you go to Boise. That's a
bad
spot.
Do you think
spot.
You're getting that much more line value now instead of just waiting? Okay.
Yes.
Good. And then there's your answer. And it's going to be graded in a couple weeks.
Yes. If you can, find it on your online book. Take advantage of it. Or just wait another week when it pops up. Those are the look-ahead spots I'm talking about. He's Doug Kazarian. When will we catch you next year on VSiN?
Next Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. So awesome. I'll be doing the morning during college football.
Yes. Live Bet Saturday with Doug Kazarian right. coming next week during week zero. More Cashing Out comes your way next right here with me, Scott Seidenberg, on the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Doug Kazarian, who dropped in, talked to us in the studio. He's here for the fantasy football events going on all weekend here at Circa, the National Fantasy Football celebrations. We have some NFL alumni here in town. Adrian Peterson was stopped by. Earl Thomas, who popped on VSiN yesterday. Austin Eckler as well. So it's been a fun weekend here at Circa. People signing up for contests as well. Next weekend, I mean, the party just continues, because it's Ultimate Contest sign-up weekend next week here at Circa. So we're going to do some stuff from Radio Row during the week, and then we'll have some guests and maybe some interviews that we got from Radio Row that we'll play for you on Saturday night as we gear up towards the NFL season, everybody getting ready for all of the Circa contests. I, of course, will be in both Circa Survivor and Circa Millions. You know, I spoke to a couple of people yesterday, and I was like, you know, I try to put feelers out there. How many entries are you doing? How many entries are you doing? And of course, you know, you get the people that are doing the 10 entries, the max entries in Survivor and whatnot. And a couple of people said, oh, I'm doing, you know, just 4 entries this year, or I'm doing 5. I'm teaming up with people. Listen, you want to do multiple entries, more power to you. You want to have, your groups and your share of people, like, that's great. I'm not going to be someone like in the NCAA tournament that says you need one entry only, because that's the only one you can claim as you win. Like, I can't stand when people have like 20 brackets and they're like, I won, you know, I got first place in my bracket pool. Yeah, you had 20 brackets, right? You had terrible brackets, and one of them you got the national champ right. But if you want to enter multiple contest entries, like, I commend you. Me, I'm a one Survivor entry guy. That's it. That's what I've always done. Started 4 years ago, or this is my fifth year, I guess. What year is this? 2026? My goodness. So 2021. Yeah. This is going to, yeah. Well, I'm a one entry guy, because it's hard enough for me, and everyone's different, but it's hard enough for me to map out the season and to plan of who I'm going to take each week, to then think about the game theory of now doing my entries differently, that I can only do one entry. Now, I do have shares of other people, just like other people have shares of me. Like, that's the way that I've always done it. Like, you know, I get a piece of you, you get a piece of me, and we kind of, work our way through the season. But I'm a one Survivor entry guy, and I have never made it to Thanksgiving. So I will give you my Survivor pick each and every Saturday night here on the show, because the entries would have already locked. And we already know who's been selected when we listen to the contest show on every Saturday with Matt Brown. But I have never made it to Thanksgiving. That is the goal. Just get to Thanksgiving. And we know, if you've watched the Circa Survivor documentary, again, Wednesdays here on VSiN, if you missed any of it, you can catch it on the VSiN Live YouTube page. Thanksgiving last year was chaos because it was all dogs that won on Thanksgiving last year. And I remember that there was, I remember coming in to do the Saturday night show, because it's different when, you know, with Thanksgiving, like, you know, the entries are due in early, but you don't exactly know, like, you know how many entries are in, but you don't know about, like, the rest of the pool, because we find that out on the Saturday, right, with the contest show, when Derek comes in, reveals the top most selected teams in Circa Millions with Jeff Benson, and then the Circa Survivor and the Circa Grandissimo entries. And last year, I remember this. I remember coming in and talking with Derek and Jeff, and somebody was a no pick on Thanksgiving. And the teams that they had remaining in their, like, to select a team, they only had the dogs. So if they would have just put in their entry, they would have won and advanced to the next week, because they already had taken every one of the favorites that lost during the Thanksgiving week. So they only could have taken the teams that won the games. Like, how crazy is that? Like, they had last year, it was Packers beat the Lions, Cowboys beat the Chiefs, Bengals beat the Ravens, Bears beat the Eagles. That was your Thanksgiving slate. This person that didn't submit an entry only had those dogs. He already used the Lions, already used the Chiefs, already used the Ravens, and already used the Eagles. And they were a no pick on Thanksgiving. I mean, listen, life happens, things happen, things get in the way, who knows? And that, I don't know. Again, who knows? But that's just crazy to make it that far. So if I can get to Thanksgiving this year, we're all going to be celebrating, and maybe we'll do something special for everybody if we can get it to Thanksgiving this year. I'm hoping. I haven't done the whole map out of the season just yet. I'm kind of taking it week by week, but we'll see. Week number one, we'll see what happens after the first week of the preseason. I can tell you I've already placed a bet on week number one in the NFL on the Denver Broncos against the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football, where right now that line is down to, you can get 3 at DraftKings. So you can get +3 at DK if you like Denver. If you want to be on the Denver Broncos with me, it is available up on DraftKings right now, +3 -115. But looking at the largest spread here for week number one, you have the Chargers, 10.5-point favorites at home against the Arizona Cardinals. You have the Jaguars, 7.5-point favorites at home against the Cleveland Browns. Lions, 7-point favorites at home against the New Orleans Saints. Out of those three teams, I'm most confident in the Detroit Lions. With all due respect to everybody who thinks the Saints are going to have a good year this year, the Tyler Shuck love, first off, you want to back a home team. Obviously, these home teams are heavily favored, but I think that, actually, who am I kidding? The Jaguars are the best bet. Shedeur Sanders is not a good quarterback, and the Browns are going to stink this year. That's got to be your best bet. But I would not take the Chargers as 10.5-point favorites against the Arizona Cardinals, because I actually think that's going to be the number one most selected team in Circa Survivor week number one, and it's going to eliminate everybody. I think the Cardinals are going to be, if there's one week this season that the Cardinals are going to win and upset everybody, it's going to be that week one, right? Jacoby Brissett and that offense just looks great, right? Herbert and that offensive line that's adjusting to, you know, kind of trying to figure out their rhythm, starts the season off slow, and then the Chargers wind up having a great year, but they start off slow, and the Cardinals kind of, you know, get them in week number one. Like, that's one that I'm staying away from. I'm just staying away from. But my goodness, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for contest season. I can't wait for Survivor. I can't wait for Millions. The Trench Report last year was to me, one of the best things that we did during the entire NFL season. I'm going to rely on it more during the Circa Millions this year in my five picks per week entry. But something that we learned last year, and we also saw it here during the NFL preseason, the steam moves in the preseason and steam moves last year were all wrong for the most part. In fact, the top five consensus plays every week in Circa Millions last year did horrible. Like, if you were fading the top five picks each week, you would have finished in the money in Circa Millions. So the top five consensus did not have a good season last year. Does it revert this year? Does it change? It probably does, because these things are cyclical, right? You have one year that's dominated by favorites. Next year, it's revenge of the dogs. One year that's dominated by dogs. Next year, the favorites do well. You know, so it just kind of changes. But I did think that was very interesting and something that we learned last year, that the steam was wrong and the consensus was wrong. And is that because the numbers are just too inflated, maybe? That with so much liquidity now in the market, with so much information out there, that the betting public is, dare I say, getting sharper? And therefore, the market's getting more difficult? I think you have to look a little bit deeper to find the edges. Like, betting sides and totals the day of the game, you're not going to be profitable. Now, going into the derivative markets, going to the prop markets, absolutely, that's the way to attack this thing. And then for, like I said, the steam, which has been wrong. It was wrong last year. It's been wrong here in the preseason. We'll see how that plays itself out during the regular season and during the Circa Millions contest coming up here this year. But week zero of college football right upon us next week. It's here, right? And you can bet it with a strategy by getting the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which is free with VSiN Pro, previewing all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50. We have power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. And that's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide and the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, along with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, the AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year. Save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription at vsin.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. You know, always hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live, as the Major League Baseball season is coming down to the wire. Postseason races are heating up as the month of August continues, and we will head into September baseball, trying to see who, in fact, will capture some of these wild cards and if the division races get even tighter. Right now, there is a couple of very interesting playoff races going on with some hot teams around Major League Baseball. Joining us to talk about tomorrow's MLB slate is our very own Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show, wherever you get your pods. Read Greg's write-ups up on vsin.com, and he joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Greg, it's easy, right? We just bet favorites 25-5 over the last 2 days. Like, we're on a heater right now.
Yeah, and if you look at the last 7 days, hitting at over 67%, I don't think it's going to be quite that easy, but you mentioned this to me off air. Typically, the best month for favorites is August. I think that that's because you still have motivation for these teams to secure wild card spots and what have you, whereas in the month of September, sometimes these favorites are going to be resting guys, so They're all motivated. You get those trade deadline acquisitions in there. It has been prime time for favorites for sure.
Yeah, and one team that continues to be listed as a favorite, and with good reason, is the Philadelphia Phillies, who have won 8 straight games, Greg, and tomorrow are a massive -224 favorite against the St. Louis Cardinals with Christopher Sanchez on the mound, and we know how good he is at Citizens Bank Park. What are you doing with the Phillies and the Cardinals and seeing this massive line?
And despite how good he has been at Citizens Bank Park, I am going to take a look at the over, because in the first 14 starts for Christopher Sanchez this year, a 1.54 ERA, more of a 3.83 ERA in his last 12 starts. Still has been good at home, not quite as good, but also Kyle Leahy. He gives up 0.3 home runs per 9 innings at home. That goes up to 1.6 away from home. And for the Phillies, they average about 4.9 runs per game at home, closer to about 4.1 away from home. All the splits say that you're going to be able to get some runs in this game. Certainly, we saw a lot on Saturday with the Phillies putting up a 12 spot. Don't know if you're going to quite get that many, but Cardinals have been leaking oil with that bullpen. They're now a bottom 19 in terms of bullpen ERA. So I think that you get some runs. And for the Phillies, not Jones in the lay over -$2, but that run line price, more around -105, very manageable. I'm going to take them to win by multiple runs on the run line and that total to the over.
We talked off the air about, for some reason, the Orioles have the Tampa Bay Rays number, as this American League East race is getting very interesting right now. The Yankees lost here on Saturday, so they couldn't gain any ground here on the Rays, who have lost 3 straight. The Yankees are 3 games back of Tampa. We know the Yankees got some bad news with Giancarlo Stanton, who was already out, but he's not coming back this season for them, and they have some pitching injuries as well. But the Tampa Bay Rays taking on the Baltimore Orioles with former Tampa Bay Rays Shane Bass on the mound for Baltimore against Nick Martinez, right now seeing Tampa a short -113 favorite, Greg.
Yep, and I'm going to be backing on the Orioles. This despite the fact that Shane Bass has actually been the least profitable pitcher in all of baseball. Team is 6-19 in his starts. If you bet $100 on Shane Bass on the money line this year, down about $1,407. And I'm the schmuck that's going to be backing him, because you look at Shane Bass, it's not really not his fault. Overall for the season, a 4.02 ERA, fielding dependent more around 3.33, gives up 0.7 to 0.8 home runs per 9 innings. Want to boil it down to his last 16 starts, 3.33 ERA. Team has just been 4-12 in those starts, but they've been so good against the Rays. And for Nick Martinez, he's starting to pay for the fact that he's given up a whole bunch of contact. 5.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, 4-plus runs allowed in 3 of his last 4 starts. One of them was against the Sacramento A's team that has won 12 out of their last 50 games. So I do think that this is a really good spot for the Orioles. I think that they're going to be able to get into a Rays bullpen that we saw them melt down a little bit here in the game on Saturday that allowed them to be able to get the job done. Think that we get some run scoring out there in Charm City. I like the over, and I like the Orioles at plus money on the money line.
Well, can the Yankees take advantage if the Orioles are able to beat the Rays once again? The Yankees are taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Carlos Rodon on the mound for the Bombers. Jose Soriano goes for Toronto. And I think it's one of the biggest, bigger stories that people aren't talking enough about, Greg, is that the Toronto Blue Jays are in the mix for a postseason spot. I mean, this is a team that was a hair away from winning the World Series last year, that had a horrific season, except the past couple of weeks, things have changed. They are a half a game out of the third wild card in the American League right now. What do you think between the Yankees and the Blue Jays?
And I mean, you just take a look at the American League in general. You're saying that the Blue Jays are very much alive for a playoff spot, and you are not wrong. If your name is not the Royals, the Athletics, and I would say the Royals, the Athletics, and obviously the Angels,
yeah,
you're alive. And heck, you can squint your eyes and say, hey, the Royals, they're 7.5 games out of a playoff spot. Why can't it happen? We've already seen 10 game blown leads,
and they've won 7, and Kansas City's won seven straight. That's so wild. Maybe they are in the mix.
It's insane what we're seeing out there in the American League. Now, I do think that the Yankees get the job done here. Carlos Rodon, second start off the injury list, didn't give a lot of length in his first start out. He only went 4 innings, but he only gave up 1 run, and his swing and miss stuff has been good this year. And Jose Soriano, you look at his career outside of Angel Stadium, he's posted up a career sub-325 ERA. Does have that walks issue that does leave me a little bit tepid on him. It's a Blue Jays team that has been pretty solid with their bullpen, though. And I do think that as a result, you're going to get another low-scoring game. Without Aaron Judge in the fold, Yankees just have not scored. Last 48 games are averaging less than 3.5 runs per game. I think they get more of the same here with the Blue Jays team that they themselves are a bottom five team in terms of run creation. I like the under in this spot. And for the Yankees, minus 130, minus 135, I'm willing to back that money line.
Yeah, I'm seeing 7.5. If you can get the under 8 somewhere, I think that would be the play here for the Yankees and the Blue Jays, as opposed to the 7.5 that we're looking at. So definitely shop around, see what you can get. As we're talking to our very own Greg Peterson, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Greg hosts the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also read Greg's write-ups up on VSiN.com as we're taking a look at tomorrow's slate here in Major League Baseball. Let's head on over to the National League, Greg, where we see the Padres right now are minus 144 favorites at home against the Minnesota Twins. Walker Buehler is on the mound for the Padres. San Diego right now, if we look at the wild card standings here in the National League, they are currently holding the third wild card, just 2 games up though on the Diamondbacks.
Yep, and I mean, Ben Stein was once asking for Buehler way back in the day. Well, we have found him. 3 runs or fewer allowed in each out of his last 6 starts. Maybe it's not vintage Walker Buehler. The swing and miss stuff is not quite where it was, but he's been plenty solid for the Padres. And Padres, they were dead last in the big leagues in terms of run creation going into the All-Star break, about 5.2 runs per game ever since then. Fernando Tatis Jr. has doubled his home run total since the All-Star break. He had 5 going into the break, 10 ever since then, and now they get Bailey Ober, who I have absolutely no faith in whatsoever. Career low 6.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, over a 4.60 ERA, giving up 1.5 home runs per 9 innings, backed up by a Twins team that's in the bottom 10 in terms of bullpen ERA. Good spot here, in my opinion, for the Padres. They've gotten hot. They've got the better bullpen. They've got the better lineup, in my opinion, as Byron Buxton has not been himself since coming off the injury list. Took that 8 after the over. I like the Padres up to even like a minus 150, minus 155 is as far as I'd be willing to go on this money line.
And finally, Greg, tomorrow night, it is the Little League Classic in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, the Braves and the Brewers. Just taking a look at the history of this game, it was the Mets, a 7-3 win over the Mariners last year, the Tigers 3-2 over the Yankees in 10 innings 2 years ago, Nationals 4-3 over the Phillies, Orioles 5-3 over the Red Sox in 2022, Guardians, then Indians, 3-0 over the Angels in 2021. So we haven't exactly seen a ton of runs being scored there in Williamsport. What do you think about the total here tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a ballpark that isn't necessarily conducive to a lot of home runs. The Brewers don't need home runs to score, though. They're actually last in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, yet they're a top 5 team in terms of run creation with about 5 runs per game. And Tyler Molly, in starts not made in San Francisco, he's struggled. Now, with the Atlanta Braves, it's been very good for him. 3 runs allowed in his 3 starts, 18 and a third innings. But still, in games not played in San Francisco, in over 6 ERA. And now you've got a guy in Shane Drone that was actually coming out of the bullpen for his last appearance. He's given up 3-plus runs. It's 6 out of his last 7 true starts. That doesn't include his bullpen appearances. So I do think that this is conducive to runs. Braves have been struggling a little bit with their offense, but still, top 8 team in terms of run creation. You do have 2 good bullpens. So after the starters go out, I think that they hold it down there. I like the Brewers here on the money line. And that 7.5 total, I took the over.
I like it. There he is, Greg Peterson. Make sure you read his write-ups up on VSiN.com. Download and listen to the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts. Great stuff as always, Greg. Good luck with your bets tomorrow, and we'll see if the favorites continue to stay hot.
Yep, I sure hope so, because I'm in on a lot of favorites, and always appreciate you, Scott. You are the favorite. Thank you.
There he is, our very own Greg Hoops Peterson, as college basketball season will be here before you know it. College football season starting officially next week. Yeah. College basketball will be here before we know it as well. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Coming up next, we'll take a look at NFL preseason week 2 finale between the Seahawks and the Titans coming up tomorrow, plus some trends from week 2 of the preseason. And what does it mean moving forward? It's Cashing Out here on VSIN.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. We had a championship fight going on here on this Saturday evening. Rolly Romero against Teofimo Lopez. And Rolly Romero, despite being the champ, was a heavy underdog in the fight, and he winds up losing. The over was significantly favored. The fight did go the distance, so Teofimo Lopez does get the belt as he wins the match here. He was, minus 300, I think I saw the line was, for the fight here tonight here in Vegas. And despite Rolly Romero, who was the reigning WBA welterweight champion, former lightweight champ Teofimo Lopez did win in a decision. So Lopez was minus 300. The over 10.5 was minus 500. And it is the favorite and the over in the fight here on Saturday night. So congratulations to all those who wagered accordingly. If you've been betting favorites in the NFL preseason, you have not been doing well. Dogs have been dominating in the NFL preseason. Dogs dominated in week one of the NFL preseason. Dogs dominated here in week two of the NFL preseason. Coming into today, the underdog record was 17-5 against the spread. And then today, it went, 5-2 today? We had underdogs today, so it was 17-5. And today we had Tampa, Kansas City covered, but they lost outright, but they covered. They were the only underdog to not win outright, but cover, because they were 3.5-point dogs. New England, they won outright as a dog. Again, some of these games, though, with the 1.5-point spreads, depending on your book, you could have gotten one team as a dog. You could have got another team as a dog. So depending on where you looked, I'm just grading off the consensus closing line here. So the New England won outright as a dog. Cincy won outright as a dog. The Rams won outright as a dog. Giants did cover as a favorite, 26-3 over Miami. Atlanta won outright as a dog. Baltimore outright as a dog. Buffalo outright as a dog. Detroit was a win and a cover as a favorite. So it was, 7-2 here today. And the Cowboys are going to win as a dog. So that's 8-2 today, bringing your total to 25-7 against the spread for underdogs here in the first 2 weeks of the NFL preseason. We got one more game left, and we have seen this line move, as we've seen a lot of games move here in the NFL preseason. And guess what? The steam moves have all been wrong. But we have one more game left in the NFL preseason, the Seahawks taking on the Tennessee Titans, where the line has moved, where Tennessee is a 4.5-point favorite. And by the way, Dallas did close at some books as a favorite, clear favorite at some books. I did see you could have gotten +1.5. That's the thing. With a lot of these preseason games, you're seeing a lot of difference between the books, between who closes as the favorite, who closes as the dog. But anyway, underdogs dominating, and we have one more game left. That is the Seahawks and the Titans. Tennessee now up to a 4.5-point favorite over the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Tennessee did win their first preseason game, which was and Robert Saleh, first year head coach, and this is where, like, a lot of people like betting on these, not first year with the Titans, obviously head coach of the Jets, but a lot of people like betting on these first year head coaches because they want to establish a culture, right? They want to go out there and they want to play hard and get the win. The preseason games mean more to them than other coaches that are just, you know, kind of playing out the strings and trying to stay healthy for the regular season. So I can understand why people like betting on a team like the Tennessee Titans, but they won their first preseason game 19-13 over the San Francisco 49ers. In that game, you saw, as far as like starters playing, we know like the 49ers like didn't play anybody in that game. It was Adrian Martinez got the bulk of the work, and then Curtis Rourke. But Cam Ward played 5 of 12 passing for 57 yards. So you saw the number one quarterback play in that game, and then it was Levis, Hooker, and Trubisky for the remainder of the game here. How much do we see against the Seahawks for the starters? Again, we can have all the information that we know, right? We can have all the information that says the coach is going to play this guy. But we just don't know. We don't know until we see it. I can tell you right now, these are two teams that played joint practices this week. And there were positive reports about Cam Ward in those joint practices to the point where Mike McDonald, the head coach of the Seahawks, was praising Cam Ward during their joint practices. And what I think we see, I don't think we see the starters play a lot here in this game. Because this is what has changed during the NFL preseason over the past couple of years. With teams having more joint practices where they're not just doing one day a week with these teams leading up to a preseason game, they're having multiple days of joint practices. The coaches get enough. They see enough out of them. Cam Ward, during team drills and seven-on-seven drills against the Seahawks during their joint practice this week, went 20 of 26 passing with two touchdowns and one interception. If you're Robert Saleh, okay, what more do you need to see from your guy? What more do you need to see from Cam Ward that you did not see in joint practice against the number ones for the Seahawks? If you're Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, what more do you want to see from Cam Ward? The answer is nothing. You saw everything that you need to see. And so because of that, you're not going to see the starters, in my opinion, play in this. You know, Robert Saleh did say he anticipates the starters playing 20 to 25 plays. Now, that's all well and good when he gives his press conference early in the week. And this is why we see the line steam. Because when the coach says that, the market's going to react accordingly. Okay? Oh, yeah, my starters are going to play about 20 to 25 plays. So now the market's going to steam in favor of the Titans. However, I just told you, there was a productive week of joint practices. And if you're Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll, you're celebrating what you saw in joint practice this week. And the worst thing that you can do is send Cam Ward out there and he throws a pick or he doesn't look good in 20 to 25 plays against the Seahawks here in the second preseason game. If Cam Ward plays and starts, which it looks like he's going to, I think he plays only one series because they saw enough from him in the joint practices. And that's what I think that's why I think, honestly, you're seeing the dogs cover here during the preseason, because the market's moving based off of what, you know, they think what coaches are saying and what they think starters are going to play. But with all of these teams having more joint practices and extended, not just one day, like multiple days of joint practices, the coaches are seeing enough. And the starters, even though they say they're going to play in the preseason in these games, they're not playing as much as we anticipate. And so Titans steaming up to 4.5, Seahawks are the only way I can look in this game right now. The only way I can look at this game. But I'll have more on this game coming up tomorrow, as I'll be on Live Bet Sunday tomorrow here on VSiN. I will take you through that game. We'll live bet that game, actually. But I'll be on before that game with a full preview of from both sides, from the Seahawks side and from the Titans side. Tomorrow morning, you can start your day with the VSiN Weekend Morning Line with John Jastrzemski and Will Hill at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. On the show, Drew Dinsick will be on with his best bets for the NFL season. Bill Bender has College Football Week 0 plays. Adam Rosenberg will join with the MLB covered. And then at noon, it's Ready, Set, Bet. Has everything you need for the day's slate of games. Then Live Bet Sunday starts at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be back with you guys on Live Bet Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow night. As, like I said, I'll get you ready for the Sunday night football game between the Titans and the Seahawks. I'll also get you ready for the Little League Classic right, between the Braves and the Brewers in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Plenty more to do, plus week zero college football best bets and more NFL preseason bets, as well as we look ahead to the third and final week of the NFL preseason. I'm Scott Satterberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSIN Live. It's Cashing Out right here on VSIN, the sports betting network.